Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War. More important now for these times than ever before. The Savage Nation, the cornerstone of the Trump presidency. Trump's War, his battle for America, like reading in real time what is taking place today, folks, and it came out in March, and I'm not kidding. If you look at the back cover of Trump's War, right there it says, the liberal media will stop at nothing to bring down Trump. And what do we see going on in our midst today? A terrorist attack in Manchester, England, and fake news outlets, CNN and MSNBC, on and on and on with the Russia. We'll talk in depth about that. Also on the back cover of Trump's War, his battle for America, Dr. Savage has written here, while everyone else was still talking about the election, Michael Savage was already looking ahead to the war Trump and his supporters will have to fight. And those supporters, folks, are you, members of the Savage Nation, who we welcome you here every day. Dr. Savage welcomes you here every day. I welcome you here today as well. And we have a lot going on. We're going to bring it to you. We encourage you also to take part in the conversation at 855-400-SAVAGE. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate here with you. We're going to be bringing you the latest on everything pertaining to Manchester, the latest being the father and two brothers of the terrorist suicide bomber, Salman Abidi, have been arrested and are being questioned, as are two or three other people. The number fluctuates, but two or three others. Folks, this is a network. This is a network of Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. The sophistication of the bomb shows you that this is a network. This is not some pot-smoking young man who put this device together to take the lives of all of those innocent women and children who went to see a pop concert in Manchester. And also, well, we have a lot more coming up for you, but it kind of pertains. Well, the liberals in the world, mainly the mainstream American media here, are still trying to enable Muslim fundamentalist terrorists, still trying to coddle Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. We have the world of social media online and the behemoth known as Facebook and how they are flouting Holocaust denial laws, except where it fears being sued, of course. There have been leaked guidelines for moderators, also reveal refugees are not protected by hate speech rules because they are a quote-unquote hot topic. We're going to be talking to you in depth about that. Facebook's policies on Holocaust denial, will they or will they not come under fresh scrutiny following the leak of these documents that show moderators are being told not to remove this content in most of the countries where it is illegal? While the world is still trying to really tippy-toe around the issue of terrorism as it pertains to the Muslim faith, I guess it's still open season on our friends of the Jewish faith, because anti-Semitism is alive and well, and no one seems to care. You can hurl slurs at Jewish people or about Jewish people online on Facebook. You can deny the Holocaust ever took place, which is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. And it seems to be okay. And here's the thing. Mark Zuckerberg is Jewish. I guess ideology ranks faith and family when it comes to our friends on the left. Also, and this kind of ties into the terrorist attack in Manchester, another thing you will not see on MSNBC or CNN, there's an Islamic State-linked militant group has besieged a Filipino city called Iligan. It's Iligan City, an Islamic group linked to militants swept through this Philippine city. It's in the south of the Philippines. They beheaded a police chief. They burned buildings. They seized the Catholic priest and his worshippers, and they raised the black flag of ISIS. Now, President Duterte. He had just declared martial law, but that was before this happened. Why are we not hearing about this? Why are we not hearing about the scourge of Islam and ISIS running across the southern part of the Philippines? President Trump just had a discussion with President Duterte. Why aren't we hearing about this? All we hear about is the media saying Trump told the president, the Filipino president, that he's doing a good job. Well, that was kind of a setup because the president of the Philippines there, he put out a hit basically on all the drug dealers there, said, we're going to rid our streets of drugs. We're going to rid our country of the scourge of drugs. And you know someone who's dealing drugs, kill them. And drug dealers and people involved in the drug trade in the Philippines are turning up on sidewalks and roadways all around the country. So when the left-wing media here in this country wanted to pick on President Trump for saying that the Filipino president is doing a good job, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek that, oh, he's doing a good job. He's calling for the murder of people before they've been tried. So we're going to get into that. This is there's still scant details, but there's details of the attack in Marawi City have just recently emerged today, and fears are mounting that the largest Roman Catholic nation in Asia could be falling into a growing list of countries that are grappling with the spread of influence from ISIS, a group out of Syria, out of Iraq. So what do those last two stories have in common, folks? We have Facebook flouting the Holocaust denial laws. We have the Islamic State beheading a police chief and going after Roman Catholics in the Philippines. I guess it's okay. The mainstream media in America does not care about our friends of the Jewish faith, does not care about Christians and Roman Catholics in the Philippines. Nope. It's all about Russia, Russia, Russia. Teeny bopper girls in Manchester, England are blown up. And all the media wants to talk about is Russia. Coming up a little later, we also have Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You might not have heard about this one. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has threatened a police chief for gathering evidence against her. Basically, she was separated. A former employee had taken a computer of hers that was left behind, and we'll get into the details later. And now that computer has fallen into the hands of the police chief. She threatened him. Basically, in the sense of, do you know who you're talking to? You'll pay for this. We have the audio on that. We'll play that for you a little later. And, of course, we will talk about the budget. Oh, the illustrious politicians on the left. De Blasio in New York. Mayor Wilhelm himself. And Chuck Schumer sticking his head up out of the sand after his prodigy has become a registered sex offender. That's right. Anthony Weiner was a prodigy of Chuck Schumer. He disappeared for a few days after what's his name there? Anthony Weiner. I get the names confused sometimes. Wilhelm, de Blasio, Schumer, Weiner. They get me confused. All these left-wing hypocrites, they all run together after a while. So we've got the latest on Manchester. We've got the hypocrites at Facebook flouts Holocaust denial laws. We've got the Islamic State running amok in the southern part of the Philippines. And, well, President Trump met with the Pope. And Pope Francis, as you know, he's an extreme left-wing, I think, lunatic. And people, I'm not here to insult the Pope. I'm insulting his politics. I have nothing against the Pope or the office. And it is off. It's kind of become a political position, huh, over the last few centuries. The Pope gave Donald Trump his book on the importance of protecting the environment. Wow. Imagine that. Now, I'm not a climate change denier. I most certainly am not a climate change believer. I think it's a bunch of balderdash. It's a bunch of tomfoolery. It's an out-and-out fraud. We've got NOAA. We've got NASA. We've got the National Ice and Data Climate Center faking data on multiple occasions. And, hey, don't take it from me, Lou Pate. Take it from Dr. Savage himself. Check out one of his books, Government Zero, Chapter 9, Zero Science, page 239. It presents the case of the Vostok ice core samples, which disprove the theory that increased temp levels will equal warmer temps. So it's all right there. Government Zero, Chapter 9, Trump's War, His Battle for America. Everything in the world is being covered in one of Dr. Savage's books. So we have it all here for you. We're going to be bringing it to you. But first, the father and the two brothers of the terrorists, Salman Abidi, they are all in custody. The younger brother, Hashim, was arrested, guess where? In Libya. Did he have suntan oil on him? Was he sunning himself? Was he there for the cuisine? No, he was not. He obviously was in some form of terrorist training, okay? And we're also going to talk about the LIFG, which is the greatest group to contribute to suicide bombing. And guess what? The father was part of that as well, okay? The father of the suicide bomber was part of that group. Although the group no longer exists, the Manchester bomber, he wasn't the only member of his family to harbor extremist views, okay? They're finding out now that his father was part of this group. It's called the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. It was back in the 1990s. The group had links to Al-Qaeda. And as I said, although it has disbanded, the father belongs to the Salafi Jihadi movement. They're the most extreme sect of Salafism, and from which Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, they all hail from there. So this is not accidental. We're going to talk about immigration. We're going to talk about the travel ban. All of this pertains to, well, Trump and his early doings in his presidency and how he was mocked and how he was taken to task by the establishment on both the left and the right. This is kind of highlighting how right President Trump was. The travel ban. Think about it. This guy is nothing more than an anchor baby. But we're going to talk more. When we come back, I'm going to give you the one weapon, the biggest weapon, and it's one word that we have provided to ISIS, one that they are thriving on, one that they are using to recruit young people all around the world to pull mayhem, destruction, and now kill women and children at pop concerts. One word. And it is the one weapon that the American media, one weapon that 7-8 years of the Obama administration has given the ISIS state. When we come back here on The Savage Nation, you are listening to The Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America. Folks, the book debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list. If you have not gotten your copy, go to michaelsavage.com and order it right now. Things don't just debut number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And guess what? When your name is Michael Savage, Dr. Savage, especially the New York Times does not want to highlight your successes unless they have to. And in this case, boy, were they compelled. Trump's War, His Battle for America. My name is Lou Pate. Happy to be sitting in the big chair for Dr. Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage, and he'll be back tomorrow. Pick up a copy of Trump's War, more important for these times than ever before. And we've touched on what is in Trump's War, even touched on what's in Government Zero, another one of Dr. Savage's bestsellers. But I said to you, what is the one weapon that the American media, what is the one weapon that the 8 years of Obama has given ISIS? You want to know what it is? I said it's one word, and here it is. Guilt. Okay, we give this feeling of guilt that if we call the accusers what they are, terrorists, not the accusers, if we call the perpetrators what they are, terrorists, that somehow this is wrong. If we go after the terrorists, if we bomb the terrorists, if we kill the terrorists, we feel guilty. The Obama administration was so worried about the perception of how we went after and how we addressed terrorism over his 8 years that he would not even mumble the words radical Muslim fundamentalist terrorism or any order you want to mix those words in. We are here in America. We are the best country in the world. We have the best of everything. We have the best military. We have the best lifestyle. Hey, I'll even go so far as to say we have the prettiest women in the world, except for maybe a few liberal cities out there. We have the prettiest women in the world. We have the best of everything. People risk their lives to come and live the American dream. So why do we care what the rest of the world thinks when we are doing the right thing? And that is to stomp out terrorism where it lives and breathes. Defend our only ally in the Middle East, that being of Israel, where President Trump was this week trying to bring some form of peace. I think it's virtually impossible, but he is trying. So can we stop pretending that the problem is not Islam or radical Islam or however you want to put it? Can we stop pretending that there are mosques in Miami, San Francisco, New York, Dallas, Chicago, and every other small major city, small, large, and major city out there where radicalization is going on, hate speech and propaganda is going on? It's no different than training in Libya, training in Afghanistan, training in Iraq. Can we just stop pretending? And yet we have the liberal media forever coddling the issue of Muslim and terrorism coming together. And I tweeted out this morning, political correctness is domestic terrorism, okay? Political correctness is domestic terrorism, but there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. We saw yesterday, or 2 days ago, when the attacks happened in Manchester, that media outlets such as CNN and MSNBC, and even the English government, the British government, didn't want to call it what it was. They called the bomber a bomber. They called him an attacker. They were looking for any other reason other than Muslim terrorism to call it, but not Muslim terrorism, okay? There's an article on michaelsavage.com that links to the Washington Times called Europe's Denial of Islamic Terrorism Threat Perplexes Security Specialists. I would encourage you to check that out. The former Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, called it a battle of good versus evil. And that's what it is, folks. Good versus evil. And this is what President Trump is facing on many levels, but especially internationally when it comes to the problem of terrorism. And you could read about that in Trump's war, his battle for America. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He'll be back tomorrow. Pick up a copy of Trump's War, more important for these times than ever before. As mentioned earlier in the show, debuting, you can shout that from the highest hill, at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. You know that had to drive them crazy over there at the New York Times to have to put Dr. Savage not only at the top of their bestseller list, but to debut him there. They probably wasn't enough Xanax in the building to calm them down. But Trump's war, his battle for America, you will not be disappointed. 855-400-SAVAGE. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. As mentioned, he'll be back tomorrow talking about this terrorism thing. I'm going to get to your calls, but first I want to comment on the media. It's truly amazing that fake news outlets CNN and MSNBC, and we know that representatives from there are listening on WABC in New York, my native hometown, and Dr. Savage's flagship there. And it is amazing that the terrorist attack happened. Okay, those first few confusing minutes, it's a news story, no one knows what's going on, but then it quickly becomes apparent that this is a Teeny Bopper concert, and it's a bunch of parents with their kids ranging in ages from 8 years old to mid-teens, and that this is not a steam pipe, this is not a boiler, this is not a car explosion, this is terrorism. And yet, it still took MSNBC and CNN almost 45 minutes to start covering it. At one point, MSNBC covered it for a few seconds, but then Chris Matthews went back to Russia, 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 while the audio of the terrorist activity live behind him was going on. You could hear people screaming in real time, and he had to get back to the Russia thing. It is truly a phenomenon that's going on. Last time I was fortunate enough to fill in for Dr. Savage, I said, there's no evidence. And the media and the Chuck Schumers, and who's the guy who looks like the constipated turtle? Adam Schiff, another Democrat from California. It's starting to sound like the boy who cried wolf. People come to me and say, you know, what's going on? People who don't like Trump, people who didn't vote for Trump, but they're not Trump haters, going, you know, what's going on? It's like, where is this going, they're asking me. And I said, nowhere, because there's no evidence. But we have this issue of terrorism, and the terrorists don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. The media seems to care if you're Jew or Gentile, but the terrorists don't care, and still they want to protect. Still they want to enable, and I just don't understand. Martha Raddatz, I know we're going to call on the clip one, Robert, but listen to Martha Raddatz and George Stephanopoulos of ABC, okay? Martha Raddatz talked about Manchester was a surprising target because Manchester did not vote in favor of Brexit. It boggles the mind that, oh, so if they were in favor of Brexit, it would have been a likely or logical or acceptable target. And here's another clip. Robert, if we can, please, clip number two.
The people in Manchester are determined to kind of go back to daily life, but this is also likely to inflame anti-Islamic sentiment across Britain, across Europe.
It sure could, George. You know, Manchester itself is a very multicultural city. There's a large Muslim population with many there for generations. So headscarf attracts little attention there. And notably, Manchester did not vote in favor of Brexit. But an attack like this, as you said, is much bigger than Manchester itself and will likely create backlash, depending, of course, on the details of this attack.
The ignorance is appalling. The thought process is repugnant. These people have jobs, high-profile media elites. Well, Stephanopoulos, he's part of the Clinton crime family of Arkansas. He doesn't really count. He's just a talking head for the Clinton administration. But remember, Martha Raddatz is the one who cried. She cried on TV the night of the election. When it became clear that Trump was going to win, she cried. So now we have our second major terrorist attack in England this year, the first one being in March, where a car was driven on Westminster Abbey, killing a number of people. One was an American tourist from Utah. Now we have this, and I have the whole list of European terror attacks, and just in the last couple of years, we'll go through those later. But where does this all come from? This comes from political correctness, folks, okay? Just like, and what do we have in the White House for 8 years? We had President Obama, former President Obama, being politically correct, refusing to say what the problem was. The problem is Muslim radical terrorism. That is what it is. And just like the blood of the Jewish victims will ever be stained on the legacy of the Nazis, okay? The terrorism that is now wreaking its way across Europe, the blood of these victims will forever be on the hands of former President Obama. Why? Because he welcomed the refugees in, many of whom are terrorists, okay? He did nothing but turned a blind eye to the issue of Muslim fundamentalist terrorists around the globe, actually went out of his way to minimize what was going on with the Muslim community. And then there is the Muslim community themselves, which enters in President Trump this week. Okay, he stood in front of a group of, I think it was like 55 or 60 leaders of Muslim nations, and in so many words said, hey, get your kitchen cleaned. Get your house in order. We've got to do this together. Strong words. Didn't get much play in the press because it was a brilliant speech. That's how you could always tell. When Trump is doing something good, they will never, ever cover it. Robert, if we have clip here, number one. This is Trump talking about winning the fight.
When you see something like happened 2 days ago, you realize how important it is to win this fight. And we will win this fight. It's a horrible situation. What took place is horrible, unthinkable, but we will win 100%.
Thank you. You never heard former President Obama talking about winning, because he would never, you can't acknowledge winning if you won't acknowledge the problem. Okay, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that he put the blinders on when it came to North Korea. He put the blinders on when it came to Muslim terrorism around the world, actually enabled. He put the blinders on when it came to corruption in his own administration. And now, well, the media put the blinders on too for that. Now we have the media running with this Russia thing. When you have people criticizing the President of the United States for criticizing terrorists, you know that you have a problem. We have a clip of John Kirby, he's like a spokesperson, State Department, one of those, you know, favor jobs that you get when you're born under the right pedigree. And when all you have against the President of the United States is criticizing him for criticizing, for the verbiage he uses in criticizing terrorists, well, then you know you've already won the argument. Robert, if we can, please, clip number three. This is John Kirby, State Department spokesperson.
He's trying to find a word that that denigrates and delegitimizes them in a way that he understands. It's stock right out of his time as a CEO and a reality game show host. That said, I think if you're looking for something that really can matter to these jihadis, and I'm not an expert on their lexicon, you want to pick a word like murderer. Because as he rightly pointed out in his Riyadh speech, they have murdered more Muslims than any other type of individual. And it's obviously against the teachings of the Quran. So I think a murderer, if you're looking for another word, is probably better than evil loser. But look, if it works and he's using it to delegitimize them, it'll resonate with Western audiences. Again, I don't know that it'll resonate much with the jihadis themselves.
Yeah, that was a lot of rambling, and I hate to even waste 42 seconds of precious time here on the Savage Nation with that dribble, but you had to get it in there. So he called the terrorists evil losers, and somehow John Kirby has a problem with that. Truly an amazing phenomenon. Let's get to the phones. John at WABC from my hometown, the Bronx there. John, welcome to the Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going okay. Thanks for your time. How can I help you?
Just to get to my point real quick, these attacks, I mean, I almost feel it's going to take something larger than the World Trade Center attacks to get people's attention, truly to get people's attention, to make, to have the political will to actually start doing something proactively to stop these type of attacks, you know. And it's my biggest fear, you know, and it's possible to have a suitcase nuke coming to this country, or biological weapons. You have the Iranians, you have the North Koreans, and all it would take is something going off in a city like Baltimore or Philadelphia, you know, a large scale attack, mushroom cloud, and then it's too late, you know. And I just think people got to like wake up to the possibilities of the devastation that, you know, ISIS or Al Qaeda is has the ability to create, you know. And, this new normal of people, you know, 100 people, 200 people being killed in these attacks seem to be just accepted at this point. And the next step is just a large-scale devastation. And it's concerning, it's sick, and I just would hope the American people start waking up, and these rent-a-mob protesters that have an issue with vetting, and we kowtow to their demand. It sickens me.
Excellent points, John. Thank you for your call. The vetting brings back the issue of the travel ban. Now, my question to you, the listeners of the Savage Nation, is why do countries like England continue to put their head in the sand when it comes to the issue of the terror problem? Why is that? Why will they not call a terrorist a terrorist? Why, if it is a, someone blowing up an abortion clinic and they're a right-winger in the South, they're going to call them a terrorist. But when it's Muslim after Muslim after Muslim, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to use that term. Why is that? It is truly amazing. Let's get to the calls again. Anthony, also at WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, hello. How you doing?
Doing okay. Thanks for your time. How can I help you?
Well, the whole point that I wanted to call was just to say one thing: liberalism. Liberalism is the root of all evil. They're the policies that put forth Islam that allowed it to spread throughout the world. I don't blame Islam anymore. We know what Islam is. To use an old expression from Dennis Green, the football coach, They are who we thought they were. So we know what they're all about. We let them loose. Well, we didn't. Liberalism allowed them to flourish. It's no different than if you let loose a rabid dog in a park and it bit someone. Who are you going to blame? Are you going to blame the dog or are you going to blame the handler? This is the same case. I don't blame Islam anymore. We know what they're about. It is liberalism that allowed it to flourish. And we have to start calling out the politicians that put forth these policies every time there's an attack. We have to use what liberals do to us. We have to put forth names. So if there's another explosion, there's another bomb, we have to say to the politicians, well, obviously you wanted this because of your policy. Perfect case in point is we know what a liberal calls a conservative, a Republican. What do they call us? Right off the bat, we're bigots, we're homophobes, we're Islamophobes, all those names. We have to start doing the same to our politicians.
Well, no, we just thanks for your call, Anthony. I say we just vote them out of office. Nothing could be gained in the name game. What we have to worry about is the issue of what we see in Belgium, what we see in the terrorist attacks in Belgium, the terrorist attacks in France, multiple terrorist attacks this year alone in England. It's going to be coming this way, okay? Now, can President Trump prevent the mindset that they have over there of political correctness, the mindset of having their head in the sand when it comes to the terror problem? Can President Trump prevent that mindset from taking hold here? We have political correctness going crazy in the media. We have it in our leaders. You folks in New York know with that idiot Mayor de Blasio, okay? You know in San Francisco with the liberal politics there. You know up there in Seattle, the crazy liberal politics up there and all of the liberal cities down to Miami and everywhere, that the media and the willing lemmings who run these cities are only too happy to allow refugees in, to enable this type of behavior at mosques. Remember in New York City, under Rudy Giuliani and also under Mayor Bloomberg, and I'm not a big fan of Bloomberg, he just kind of rode Giuliani's coattails in there, they had the issue they were profiling, which I have there's no problem with profiling, but they were profiling the mosques. They were watching the mosques. A mosque, it no longer is a house of worship, folks, once you start spewing hate, okay? Once you start sitting in a circle and handing out terrorist pamphlets, and once you start getting people in that circle to recruit people who are outside the mosque, it stops being a house of worship. They lose all rights of religious freedom. But the liberals in our society don't want that to happen. More when we come back. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, which debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list, folks. Trump's War, his battle for America, more important for these times than ever before. Political correctness is domestic terrorism. I came up with that little ditty myself. I've had it on my website. I've tweeted it out from time to time as recently as this morning. So can we stop pretending that the problem of terrorism is not coming from the Middle East? Okay. Can we stop pretending that this problem in the Middle East is not centrally fed from organized groups, whether it be Al-Qaeda, whether it be ISIS? Can we stop pretending that the Middle East is not the cradle of Islamic terrorism? Can the Muslim community stop pretending that it is just rogue elements who have hijacked their faith? It is littered throughout their history, especially the modern era of their history. Terrorism and Islam, terrorism and Muslims, are linked. The problem comes from the Middle East. The problem is Islam, not the whole faith. I'm not going to be so ignorant as to condemn a whole religion, but there is so much here every single time, from the Boston bombers to what happened in Brussels to the multiple attacks in France to what happened in Westminster Abbey earlier this year, right down to the concert the other night where an 8-year-old girl lost her life. Can we stop pretending that mosques are not being used as recruitment centers for terrorists in the Islamic faith? Can we just stop? Can we face the problem and say what it is? Muslim fundamentalist terrorism. My name is Lou Pate. You are listening to The Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America. More coming back, so stay here at The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of the book that debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list, Trump's War, His Battle for America. More important for these times than ever before. The Savage Nation, the cornerstone of the Trump presidency. Trump's War, His Battle for America, like reading in real time what is going on right in our midst today. And we're going to be taking your calls on these topics, 855-400-SAVAGE. Again, Lou Pate, glad to be here. The doctor will be back tomorrow. Obviously, there's the issue of terrorism in Manchester, the growing threat of ISIS, political correctness across the European continent, which has allowed it to breed and spread. But why here in the United States? Why in Europe are they so reluctant to identify the issue of Islam, the issue of terrorism, and the link that comes with them? Why are mayors like de Blasio in New York and others around the country afraid to confront what is going on in the mosques in their cities? Why is the media not covering what happened in the Philippines, in the city of Iligan? Okay, well, you had the president of the Philippines was visiting Moscow, had to go home, had to cut his trip short because of violence there, saying, we are in a state, and I quote, we are in a state of emergency. I have a serious problem, and the ISIS footprints are everywhere. And those ISIS footprints in the city of Iligan have, it includes the beheading of a police chief, the burning of buildings, the seizing of a Catholic priest and his worshipers, and raising the black flag of ISIS. At least 21 people have died. I mean, not taking anything away from Manchester and the horrors that happened there to the men, women, and unfortunately children, but this is right up there. You have ISIS taking territory in the Philippines. The Philippines, who are supposed to be our ally, put on CNN, put on MSNBC, put on Fox. You're not going to find it. Why is it? The only place you're going to hear about it is here at the Savage Nation. The daily cutting off of heads and the repugnant way they try to think of more vile ways to execute people, lighting them on fire, putting them in cages and lowering them slowly into the water, tying them to vehicles and driving off in opposite directions. And now we have a police chief being killed. We have a Catholic priest and his worshipers being kidnapped. 21 people dead. And still, you don't hear about it. This is terrorism, folks. So why won't the media cover it? Why are we, not you and I, but why is the world afraid of the perception of calling radical Muslim terrorists what they are, terrorists, okay? Now, this all began on Tuesday. There was the Filipino army raided the hideout of Islam. It's a commander of the Abu Sayyaf militant group. They pledged allegiance to ISIS, okay? They're on Washington, D.C.'s most wanted terrorist list. $5 million reward for information leading to this guy's capture. So the militants called for reinforcements, and around 100 gunmen entered the Marwari city, and they wreaked havoc. Now, this city is mostly Muslim. You've got a couple hundred thousand people living there, but the ones that are not Muslim, like across different parts of the world, in places that are majority Muslim, if you're a Christian or if you're Catholic or any other faith, you become a victim. So now they're sending a message. The president, Duterte, he declared martial law for 60 days in the region, okay? And this is the result of what is happening. Why are we not hearing about it? Why isn't anybody sending help for these people? This is an ally of ours. This is how ISIS marches across the globe. Again, in Europe, they put their head in the sand. They were reluctant to even call the attack in Manchester after the concert terrorism. And now we have terrorism where a president is he's in Moscow, president of the country has to run back home to address the issue, and no one is talking about it. Why? Why not? If this had been any other group, okay, if this had been a group of Christian radicals, if this had been a group of Jewish radicals, we don't have Christian and Jewish radicals, but I'm just using that term to bring you the depth of it. This is what's going on in the world, yet nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Because they're Muslim terrorists, okay? And it comes back to what I said in hour one, which bears worth repeating. It is that issue of guilt. For some reason, the former president, Barack Obama, had this issue. He had this affinity for Islam, which is fine, and he was so blinded by his affinity for Islam, he was so blinded by his left-wing ideology that the two got warped. And he was not able to separate the religion of Islam, which I have numerous problems with anyway, and the issue of Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. To date, still saying the name. So when situations like this happen, we don't hear about them. You're not going to hear Wolf Blitzer talking about ISIS seizing land in the south part of the Philippines. Okay, you're not going to hear about it. You're not going to hear Jake Tapper. You're not going to hear anybody on MSNBC talk about ISIS terrorists rampaging through a city and killing innocent people, kidnapping a priest and killing a police chief. 21 people dead. How many people were killed in Manchester? 22. Very sad. Okay. High profile because, well, it was a concert and it was a lot of kids. This one wasn't caught on video. That plays part in it as well. But that, nonetheless, we have 21 dead people due to terrorism. Islamic State-linked militants. Okay, answering the president, I don't know, there because he called for martial law, trying to take land. I don't know what their reasoning is, except that they like to kill. But this is what is going on in the Philippines, and you will not hear it anywhere else. And it comes back to what I said before. Can we stop pretending that the problem with terrorism is not Islam related? Can we stop pretending that it is not coming from the Middle East? Can we stop pretending that it is not centrally fed from organized groups? Pivot back to Manchester, the sophistication of that bomb, as I touched on earlier. This was not some crazy kids in Colorado building a bomb in their room and then going to school with a bunch of guns. This is an organized network, okay? Trained bomb makers that know what they're doing, that are going to get the maximum value of casualties, and they knew how to plan. They waited till the concert was over. The singer was backstage. Her gig was done. People were going home, happy with the show, not happy with the show regardless. A bunch of kids, they probably were just happy to be at a concert. And the bomb was set off near the exit, where the most people would be at that time after the show. Okay. There's a lot of theories as to why they would have gone to a concert. The simple reason is it's a soft target. But now we have the issue of this going on in the Philippines. And it's kind of troubling. It's almost like if you don't rate, they're not going to cover it. Or if it makes Islam look bad, they're not going to cover it. A president of the Philippines said that a local police chief was stopped at a militant checkpoint and beheaded. And, I mean, what more do you need? Has anybody commented on this? Has anybody seen this on TV? Because this is how it happens. They do this, they get emboldened. And then they'll try it in another country, or they'll try it in another part of the Philippines. This is what's happening in Europe. We saw the attacks in Paris, and we saw the attacks in Brussels, and now we see two this year in England. It is so incremental, folks, and when you don't do anything, they get further emboldened. They need to be killed, okay, immediately. Like Trump said, you need to annihilate them. That's what, and I'm not a tough guy. I'm not coming, I gotta kill, all the, no. And I'm not saying kill Muslims. Don't go twisting my words. I am saying that terrorists, where they live and breathe, need to be put out to pasture. And that's what has to be done. Because now, in the southern part of the Philippines, they're emboldened. Like, we got away with this. We beheaded a police chief. Nobody did anything. We kidnapped all those people, probably encouraged by Boko Haram. Remember, bring back our girls? They only got back a few of them just a few weeks ago and get lip service by the Obama administration. And the terrorists, whether it's in the southern part of the Philippines or Manchester or any part of Europe, have been emboldened by 8 years of the Obama administration either agreeing with what they were doing or not knowing how to address what they were doing or not wanting to get involved because of that perception, that guilt, that, oh, you're attacking Muslims. Remember, if I can go back to the beginning of the year and Trump's travel ban, which they called a Muslim ban, as we talked about here on the Savage Nation at the time, it didn't affect 87% of Muslims, yet the media kept calling it a Muslim ban, more fake news. So this is what we're looking at here, folks. This is what makes it worse. This is what moves the ball forward for Muslims and for their terrorist counterparts. Not Muslims, but for Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. And people will take that and turn it into a big deal. They take this land, they kill these people, and they're like, hey, we got away with it here. Let's go do it there. They're sending a message to the Filipino president that we're not going to obey martial law, we're not going to put up with your tough guy tactics against drug dealers, we're going to do what we want. He's got a big problem there on his hands, and the world doesn't seem to care. Well, the world didn't seem to care about those girls in Manchester either. The media and the leftist elites in the media and the left-wing politicians across the globe seem still more interested in protecting the image of Islam. And that is disgusting. We'll come back. Your phone calls, 855-400-SAVAGE. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage here on the home of Trump's war, his battle for America, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, more important for these times than ever before, and some of what you could expect in Trump's War, his battle for America. Far-left radicals who have taken over the Democratic Party. Rhinos protecting their big business special interests. War profiteers with trillions to lose if Trump restores peace. That focuses right there on what Trump did this past week with his very successful trip to the Middle East, meeting with both the Israeli and Palestinian leaders, and the liberal media who will stop at nothing to bring down Trump. It is all there in Trump's War, his battle for America, the book that debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I like saying that. That's my favorite part of all, because I know it drives the New York Times crazy. and we know that they are listening here to the Savage Nation. We're talking about martial law in the Philippines. We're talking about a terrorist attack in the Philippines where the Islamic State-linked militants have besieged the Filipino city in the south, killing 21 people. Folks, taking nothing away from Manchester, but this is terrorism just the same, and nobody wants to cover it. I think it's because they don't want to offend the Muslims. They don't want to show that there is an issue when it comes to the faith of Islam and terrorism, and that there is a direct link, as Robert Gates said, the battle between good and evil. And as I said earlier, can we just stop pretending that there is not a problem with Islam and radical Islam in the world? Now, this is what we have coming from our friends on the Democratic Party. Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut. Here's what he said on CNN. Robert, clip number 7, please.
We can never be 100% protected as a country. And, you know, we do need to remember here in the United States that there have only been, on average, a couple people a year who are killed in terrorist attacks. You are much more likely in this country over the last 10 years to have been killed by a falling object than you are by terrorism. So I think we want to right-size the threat here in the United States while recognizing that we all need to step up our efforts.
Have you ever heard ignorance? This is, you know, he's from Connecticut. What do you expect? Come on. You had the home of, what's his name, Blumenthal? The guy who pretended to be a Vietnam vet? The guy who pretended to be a war hero? Then you got the other guy over there, Himes, Jim Himes, another Trump hater, a.k.a. American hater. And this is it. This is, you're more likely to, you know, have something else happen to you. Yeah, but here's the thing. In life, folks, accidents happen, okay? People fall downstairs. There's car accidents and so on and so forth. People fall off ladders cleaning the gutters. These are unfortunate tragedies that do happen in everyday life, okay? I can even say they're almost normal. Normal tragedies. Being blown up at a concert, okay, is not normal. Okay, being run down by a person who's trying to run down people on a sidewalk is not normal. Shopping for Christmas presents, as was the case in Berlin, and a truck comes, you know, mowing through the market to kill festive people during a festive time of the year, or last summer in Nice, France, down on the Cossette, riding a truck and killing, what, 82 people. This is not normal, okay? What's normal is somebody having a heart attack while driving and then unfortunately jumping the curb and possibly hitting someone else, okay? That is sad. That is tragic. It happens, but still it is acceptable. Sad nonetheless, but acceptable in society. Because it's an accident. That's why we have the word accident. Doing it on purpose is hateful. It's terrorism. And so while, yes, you know, you eat a bad diet, you might develop heart disease. But there are not worse ways. You know, they're playing the numbers. The liberals like to play the numbers. And to say that you are more likely to be killed by other things in the country than terrorism or a falling object, as Murphy just said there. It's just ignorant. It's basically saying, I think you're stupid, and this is why. I'm going to tell you this because I don't want to address the issue of radical Muslim fundamentalist terrorism. Hey, for all of those holding, we're going to come right back. We're going to get to your calls. Why does nobody care about those poor people in the Philippines being attacked by ISIS? 21 dead. You're listening to The Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, the New York Times number one bestseller, His Battle for America. My name is Lou Pate. This is The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. More important now than ever. Again, it cannot be said enough. It's like reading the events, the current events of today and tomorrow in real time. Go to michaelsavage.com, sign up for the newsletter. It's delivered free to your inbox. And while there, order your copy, or maybe a gift for a friend, of Trump's War, His Battle for America. Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to be discussing the issue of Facebook and really how they're supposedly on this crusade where they're going to thwart fake news, but yet it has been revealed that in their rules and regulations that they're going to allow people who deny the Holocaust to keep posting on Facebook, yet they're not going to allow, it's strange. It's weird. They're going to, in countries where it's illegal, which are 14, it's actually illegal in 14 countries to be a Holocaust denier. They're only going to enforce it in four of those. In one post, there's a picture of a concentration camp with the caption, "Never again believe the lies." This was permissible on Facebook. So, you know, the hypocrites at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg of the Jewish faith, it boggles my mind that this is going on. Again, Facebook is supposedly on a crusade against fake news, but they're going to allow Holocaust deniers to continue to spew their venom. I don't get it, but we'll talk more about that a little later. In the meantime, talking about the issue in the Philippines, ISIS going crazy in the south, killing people, beheading a police chief, kidnapping Christians, 21 people dead, and we're not hearing about it on the news. Terrorism, well, it comes in many shapes and forms, and I don't know why the media doesn't want to cover this. In my opinion, it's because they do not want to shed a negative light on Islam and its connection to radical Islam. It's just the way it is. Let's get to the phones. John, KSFO, Dr. Savage's flagship in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for holding.
Hey, thank you very much. Great show. Hey, one of the connections that isn't being made, and that is obvious to me, and we have to spend billions throughout the world in surveillance, and we're being beaten on these incidents by a bunch of stoners. The Sonaya brothers in Boston proved to be drug, smoked a lot of pot all the time. Paris, those people were in opium dens. And now the guy in Manchester, he was a pothead, a big cannabis guy. And, you know, they always want to make the disconnection. Oh, there's no problem with drugs. You know, pot's not a problem. And we got the cartels cutting off people's heads on the border. And, you know, it just seems to me that we spent all this money and we're getting defeated by these clowns that are just a bunch of dopers. It makes no sense on any level.
That's an excellent observation, and John, 100% accurate. Actually, in the Daily Mail today, in the DailyMail.com, they describe, pot smoker becomes terrorist. I'm paraphrasing the headline now, but they reference as pot smoking, and I believe it was rumored that Omar Martin, the Orlando massacre, the shooter there, he was involved in drugs in some capacity at all. Here's what I'm thinking. Now, two things. One, they got to get them all doped up in order to do this. In order to put a suicide vest on, they're going to have to give you something more than a little weed, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if they're injecting them with a lot more or giving them pills. But why we're not hearing about it, to your point, is, well, the media, the left-wing media, is very pro-narcotics, we'll say, where pot is illegal, whether it's the state of Washington, state of Colorado, wherever, they are pro-cannabis, they're pro-legalization of marijuana, and, it's a stretch, but I'm just thinking that they don't want to accentuate the fact of how drugs are playing a part in this. But you're right, and most of them, it always comes up that they engage, even if just casually, and it's probably more so than that. But John, thanks for your call and for bringing that up. Let's go to Steve, also at Dr. Savage's flagship, KSFO. Hey, Steve, welcome. We didn't get Steve. We'll come back to Steve another time. Let's go to where I am in South Florida, the great 850 WFTL. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you, Joe?
Hey, nice to talk to you, Lou. I'm a high school history teacher, 9th and 10th grade world history, and I brought the attacks up in every one of my classes, and I think the biggest problem is a lot of these kids are desensitized to the attacks. They hear about them and they feel bad for a few minutes, and then it's like, oh, who won the Yankee game last night, or who won in the playoffs the Stanley Cup? It's almost like I hate to say this because I have two children, 10 and 13, you almost need this to happen more for them to really feel what's going on, because they don't get it from the media. And not that I want any more attacks, that's not what I'm saying. But it's like the media does not do a good enough job to really say how serious this is. where our kids, they just, they hear it and it goes out the, in one ear and out the other, basically. And
why do you think, they've been desensitized, Joe?
Well, the kids that I teach are 9th and 10th grade, so they grew up after 9/11. So they've been used to bomb-sniffing dogs when they go out. They've been used to high surveillance and this and that. And I think, other than myself, you know, they get a pass on a lot of things. Like, oh, you can't say it was this, you can't say it was that. Don't rush to judgment. It could have been this, it could have been that. And they, I don't know if it's their parents or other...
Okay, that's interesting, because when I say, what do you think, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just an opinion question. And I think part of it is the media, because it's 24 hours, it's never ending, they're always trying to fill something, and a lot of times it's something negative, and then it's gone. Because look at it this way, this terrorist attack, in a few days, we will not be talking about it. All those lives lost, a little 8-year-old girl and all of the others, and in a few days we won't be talking about it. It'll be something else. Actually, it is already something else on CNN and MSNBC. They're already back to the Russia thing more than they're covering the Manchester thing, because they're trying to push that narrative. But thanks, Joe, for your call. You know, some people say it's video games. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the upbringing. If you're raised in a big city, you have more exposure to violence. You see it in the news every day as opposed to being in a rural area. It could be any number of things. But, yes, I think children have been desensitized to a certain point. But thank you for your call. Let's go to Ray at WABC. Welcome, Ray.
Nice talking to you. You know, well, I've been around a long time. I'm a product of the greatest generation. And we were brought up under the mantra, my country first, love it or leave it. Okay? And what I see for the last 8 years is the president that is perhaps the most gutless, spineless president. He's an embarrassment as a leader of this country. You know, those of us who were well attuned to his biography knew that he was a racist. We knew he was a anti-Semite.
Right, okay. No, everybody's got their opinion on Obama, and I have mine, and a lot of it is there in the books. But what's your point, Ray?
Well, the point is the media has been a propaganda arm. They have protected Obama for 8 years.
No, we know that now, and now they're trying to bring down Trump. We know that the media is an arm of the DNC, and they do their bidding for them. But what's your point, though, Ray?
Well, my point is this. You know, when it comes to these types of terrorist actions, I happen to be Armenian. If you want to really know about terrorism, you know, there's a denial by the Turks. The genocide, okay? Then you got George Stephanopoulos, a Greek. Let me tell you, if his grandparents knew it, you know, the side that he took, because you know the Greeks were also victims of the Turks, and there's always been a denial, okay? So now we have media that doesn't even address these types of, terrorist actions, and it'll continue until they are fully eliminated, okay? And unfortunately, thanks to Dr. Savage and the others, the silent majority, okay, is fully behind our president and the Michael Savages of this world.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it, Ray. Thanks for your call, and thank you for your support. And I speak for Dr. Savage when I say thank you for listening as well. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. You know, you're looking at the TV, you see all of this still beating the drum when it comes to Russia. I've noticed that they have backed away from the impeachment talk. So why do you think the Democrats seem to be backing away from the impeachment talk? Right now, the narrative is the obstruction of justice narrative. That's what they're pushing. They know they're not going to get impeachment, except for that, you know, Maxine Waters running around out there. But they're not going to get impeachment, so they're wondering, oh, what else now? So now it's obstruction of justice, but they can't seem to find any obstruction of justice there either. So is this constant drumbeat about Russia from the Democrats and the media, is it working or backfiring? I think eventually they're going to be like the boy who cried wolf. But let's get back to the phones. Abdul at WDGJ, how are you? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk to you about these, when you say that about Muslims, So I know you didn't mean that all the Muslim, but sometimes sounds like you're talking about all Muslim. I'm a Muslim. I'm American. I love this country. The problem with these people, with the sick people, look at that. They kill more Muslim people than anybody. Just a month and a half ago in Afghanistan, they went to the hospital. They went to there. They killed, the patients and the people was in the hospital, the doctors.
Right.
So these are the sick people. But the problem is because it's, our problem is because we get so much involved with those countries. Look at that. Those people, they don't like those government because those government is not elected by the people.
What government are you talking about?
Well, the Saudis, like the Kuwait, all those, they're all the king. And we are supporting. Look at that. We went to there. Trump was talking so much about the Muslim. And they went to the people who signed a contract under $10 billion and selling weapons. So for what? To killing the other people? You know, so that's...
Oh, you're talking about the weapons accord. Hold on, Abdul. You said you're Muslim, correct?
Yes.
And you're American? You love America. Now, the problem is within your faith. This cannot be denied. The connection between Islam and terrorism and terrorism's link to the Middle East, where people are mostly Muslim, cannot be denied. The fact that mosques are being used to radicalize young people and then get people that are radicalized to go recruit others cannot be denied. The recruitment that's going on online from imams cannot be denied. I mean, this is your faith. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Okay, you see, the problem is because of lack of education. People doesn't know about Islam. In Islam, I read the book so much. I haven't read it, you believe it or not. I'm a majority of the Muslim people, over 90% of the people, they don't know the meaning of the Quran. They go by this Khalifa, by the Aziz, they call him. You know, they all fake, lie. In Quran, if you read the Quran, please read it. They say that if you want it, you give me my number, give me your number, I give you all the verses. You know, they love about Christian and Judaism. In the Quran, they say that if you kill one innocent people, like you kill the whole humanity. If you save one person, you like...
But Abdul, I understand what you're saying, but how do you feel mosques are being used as centers for terrorism? This is going on everywhere. And no one seems to be protesting it. If the people of the Muslim faith really cared, they'd be, you know, protesting millions strong, or should be protesting millions strong all around the world. All we get is crickets.
Sure, they do, but what happened,
Wait. Where are the protests?
You in Afghanistan, you watch the news, Afghanistan, they write so many times. What happened is that most of these fundamentalists, they are supporting...
Abdul, no disrespect, but I'm not concerned about Afghanistan. I'm concerned about here. Okay, I live in South Florida. I know there's mosques in South Florida that are being used for terrorist purposes down in the Miami area. We know about New York. We know about San Francisco. We know about Chicago. How come no one's organizing in the Muslim faith to, you know, bring your, you know, take your religion back, so to speak?
Okay, so now you said that. I want you, what I said, everything, I quote it, I mean it, yeah, I give you my number. In this Albany, I'm here. And how many mosques I could tell you that the number I could give it to you? They are talking.
All right, listen, Abdul, I got to go. You know how to contact me, but thank you very much. I got to take a break. Lou Pate here with you. You're listening to The Savage Nation, and it's a simple question. You know, why do Muslims allow their mosques to be used for recruitment centers for terrorism? Only they can answer that. Lou Pate here with you, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America. I encourage you to pick it up. Go to michaelsavage.com when you're getting your news of the day, signing up for the newsletter. Order your copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America, the number one New York Times best-selling book and best-selling author. And did I mention the book debuted at number one? Of course I mentioned it, because it's worth mentioning, not only because it's true and it's an astounding feat, but it also drives the folks at the New York Times crazy, which I like to do. Trump's War, His Battle for America, like reading the events that are going on right now in real time. Dr. Savage ahead of his time on this one. Trust me, Trump's War, His Battle for America. You know, I got to ask you this. We have the terrorist attack in Manchester. Little girls and teeny boppers killed, shredded by nail bombs. Adults killed as well. Where is the march here in America? Where's the march for women that we saw earlier in the year? Where are the women of America who, under the guise of caring about their fellow women, had a march? Really what it was I hate Trump, and I'm very sour and bitter over the fact that our horrible candidate, the worst candidate in the history of presidential elections, lost. Why? Where are you? The terrorist, the Israeli terrorist, or the anti-Israeli terrorist, who spent 10 years in jail for terrorism, who organized one of those women marches, where are you? Why are you not organizing? Where is the left in this country? Why are you not organizing a march for the murdered little girls and young ladies and their moms in Manchester? Where are the protests? Where is the memorial march? Nothing. Because if you can't hate Trump, you got nothing. You're listening to The Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America, more important for these times than ever before. Debuting number one on the New York Times bestseller list, along with a lot of Dr. Savage's other books, joining its cousins, brothers and sisters there on the New York Times bestseller list. Quite the accomplishment to be on that list at any time, but to debut there, truly impressive. So pick up a copy for yourself, pick it up as a gift. For your uninformed friends, I'll say, they'll be truly informed after reading Dr. Savage's latest book, Trump's War, His Battle for America. And, you can hold me to it on that. Trust me. You'll be calling me up saying, Lou, you were right. In the meantime, we're going to take your calls. 855-400-SAVAGE. If you're holding, please continue to hold. We're going to get to all of your calls. We've got a lot coming up for you in this hour. But as mentioned earlier in the show, I guess it's still okay to be an anti-Semite anywhere in the world, especially here in the United States. The media forever enabling, forever coddling Muslim terrorists, as we saw with the Manchester attack a few days ago, not wanting to call them terrorists, calling them bombers, calling them attackers, calling them everything but what they are, Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. Now we have Facebook and anti-Semitism on Facebook. There are 14 countries in the world where it's actually illegal to be a Holocaust denier. Why somebody has to make that a law is beyond my comprehension. It's there. Auschwitz, Dachau, all of the concentration camps, the over 10 million people killed, the videos of the bodies being bulldozed and so on. I don't have to get into all of the graphic details of the horror that was the Holocaust and wasn't all that long ago. You know, you think about all of the wars, you think about all of the horrors throughout history, and this is basically in our time, you know, 1939 to 1945. It wasn't that long ago. We still have Holocaust survivors with the tattooed numbers on their arms who can tell stories. But like the World War II veterans from the Greatest Generation, we are losing more and more of them with each passing day. It's just time. It's just what happens to all of us. We all go in that direction. But Facebook, run, created by a Jewish man, Mark Zuckerberg. I've never met, but Mark, I'd like to interview him because I've got a lot of questions for this character. But Facebook, who now over 2 billion people in the world have Facebook accounts, and Facebook, which is involved in news and it's involved in a lot of different things, got caught with their pants down, censoring conservative views, censoring conservative news, is now on a crusade to, well, stop fake news. But are they really? Because guidelines have been leaked from moderators that reveal that, well, depending on where you are, they're going to allow people who deny that the Holocaust ever happened to continue to post online. In countries where it's illegal, if they're going to get sued, they'll make their moderators take it down. You know, just like everything else, if you hit someone in the pocket, all of a sudden their views change. But why is this allowed to be happening? We hear about climate change deniers. I guess you'd call me one because I know climate change, global warming. I know it's a fraud. But the Holocaust is something that I'm not even Jewish. And to me, it's sacred because it has to do with humanity. And it has to do with how horrible human beings can be to one another just over the idea of religion and the view of people who come from certain faiths. When it came to the Jews, they were slaughtered, okay? And we say never again. But now we look at the Muslim radical fundamentalists, and they're not slaughtering people at the level that the Nazis were, but they would if they could. If they could set up concentration camps throughout the world and get rid of all of us the infidels, as we're called, who do not see life as they want it to be, they would kill all of us. So why is it that the liberal elites here in the United States and across the world, many of whom are Jewish, why do they coddle and enable? Been asking this all day. Why do they coddle and enable? Why does a CEO, one of the most powerful businessmen in the world, Mark Zuckerberg, allow for Holocaust deniers on his Facebook website? It's beyond comprehension, and I'll tell you why. Because it's still okay to be an anti-Semite, okay? It's still okay to be against Christianity. It's still okay to want to kill Catholics. That is why the topic that we talked about earlier with the southern Filipino city of Iligan under siege by ISIS commandos who killed a police chief and killed 20 other people, kidnapped a Catholic priest and his worshipers, is not getting any play. Okay, because they're targeting Christians. It's Muslims targeting Christians, and the media does not want to highlight another black mark against Islam. And what it comes to here, it just boggles the mind with Facebook. Documents show that Facebook has told moderators to remove dehumanizing speech or any calls for violence against refugees. Content that says migrants should face a firing squad or compares them to animals, criminals, or filth also violate its guidelines. Now, when it comes to removing calls for violence, obviously, I'm okay with that. We don't want to see anybody hurt. We don't want to see anybody promoting ill will against any other group, whether it's the color of their skin or their religion or anything like that. But we do have freedom of speech. And the most important thing about freedom of speech is supporting speech that you do not agree with. That's the most important part. It's not about just getting together with everybody who agrees with you like the liberals do. They like to go to their coffee shops and sit in circles and back in the day talk about how horrible and stupid George W. Bush was, and then later on talk about how wonderful Barack Obama is. Why is Barack Obama wonderful? Oh, because he's black. Oh, he's wonderful. It, you know, it doesn't matter that everything he touched failed, turned to salt. But and now it's about hating Trump. But they don't let in. Liberals don't let in outside views. Whenever I talk to liberals outside of the show, they throw their words at you, but then they don't want to hear what you have to say. They are the most intolerant people on the face of the planet. And now we see this intolerance on social media. We see, if you're a Holocaust denier, first of all, you're ignorant, but you're also an anti-Semite. So we see anti-Semitism being allowed on Facebook, the world's biggest social media site. And I'd like to know from you, the listeners to the Savage Nation, why do you think this is being allowed to happen? We get chastised, we get ridiculed if we say we don't believe in global warming. Excuse me. Yet Holocaust deniers are allowed to run rampant, even in countries where it's illegal. Actually, of the 14 countries where being a Holocaust denier is illegal, there's only four where Facebook is enforcing their policy. The others, unless they're going to get sued, as mentioned earlier, they're allowed to run rampant. Never again believe the lies was permissible on Facebook, because that's what they say about the Holocaust, is that it never happened. You got to remember, these are the same kooks who said we never landed on the moon. They said that it was a studio. So it's very strange how this goes down or why this would even happen. And it also, it laughs in the face of Facebook's claim that they are on a campaign to get rid of fake news. There's nothing faker out there than saying the Holocaust didn't happen. I have met the people with the tattoos on their arms. I could think of one, I won't get into a long story at all, that I had numerous conversations with, fascinating conversations, about when I was like 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, driving a truck in Manhattan, picking up stuff at a hardware store on the Lower East Side. Man was fascinating and shared his stories. A better education on the Holocaust than I got from any level of education, including on the college level later in my life. But now, enter into the Facebook fray. Remember, Facebook is supposedly getting rid of fake news, yet they allow Holocaust deniers. Facebook has signed BuzzFeed, Fox, and others for original video shows. Companies such as I mentioned, Vox Media, BuzzFeed, ATTN, which is an LGBT group out of Los Angeles, Group 9 Media, they're going to make shows for an upcoming video service that will feature long and short form content with ad breaks. Now, Facebook will not own the content, but they're going to distribute it on the site. All of these organizations are left-wing groups, okay? They're not going to have anything that has the good of America, American symbolism, or anything with conservative values. It's going to be all left-wing propaganda, and probably a lot of it, for lack of a better term, fake news. If you go and you check out Vox Media, you go, you check out BuzzFeed, of all things, ATTN, Group 9 Media, and others. So, it is truly amazing. So now Facebook's move to acquire and license original content, that's their latest in its push to attract more advertising dollars. And there it is, folks. It's not about getting rid of fake news. It's about making money while pushing the liberal narrative. And unfortunately, a lot of the liberal narrative is anti-Semitism. A lot of the liberal narrative is also, well, the Holocaust didn't happen. I've always wanted to go to Auschwitz. I always wanted to see the places that I've seen on video so many times. I don't know how I'd handle it emotionally once I'm there, but it's definitely a place that I want to see. And I'm not going to call it a bucket list thing, because that would just be disrespectful to all the people who were there and all of the people who lost their lives there. But to say that the Holocaust never happened, and for Facebook, of all companies, to allow that type of propaganda on their site, all I can say is, Mark Zuckerberg, you're making Joseph Goebbels proud. You're listening to The Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate. Dr. Savage will return tomorrow, but be sure to pick up a copy of his book, Trump's War, His Battle for America.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow, and I encourage you to pick up a copy of Trump's War, his battle for America, more important for these times than ever before. I've said it before, but it bears worth repeating. It is like reading the events that we are going through daily in real time. I joke that it's like the book updates itself, but it really does. As I was reading to you earlier from the back cover, it says, while everyone else was still talking about the election, Michael Savage was already looking ahead to the war Trump and his supporters will have to fight. And what are we experiencing now? Heck, the guy's having a great trip to the Middle East. Well, now he's in Europe, but he was with the heads of the Israeli leadership and Benjamin Netanyahu and Abbas with the Palestinians, and everybody's getting along, and the media just cannot cover it. They cannot cover anything good. I actually will go so far as to say the media probably was happy for the terrorist attack because they then didn't have to cover the successful trip to the Middle East. But then again, they weren't covering it anyway. They were still on Russia, Russia, Russia. We're talking about anti-Semitism and Facebook. Facebook allowing anti-Semites, Holocaust deniers, on their site. How can this be? Of course, except for where they are going to be sued in countries where it's illegal. Folks, that's right. You just heard me say it is actually illegal to be a Holocaust denier. Well, I'm not making fun of the law. I'm making fun of the fact that there has to be a law. How can there be Holocaust deniers? Enter in, well, Facebook yet again, getting in bed with a bunch of left-wing media organizations, BuzzFeed, Vox, and others. They're supposed to be against fake news, and yet they're allowing this to happen, and they're getting in bed with what I call fake news organizations, BuzzFeed, Vox. Hey, why don't they just hire the Young Turks? They're Holocaust deniers, and they're fake news. They cover it both. Everybody out there in the Savage Nation audience is going, well, who's the Young Turks? That's probably the most promotion they'll get ever in their career. Turks. Bigger clowns is over at BuzzFeed. But it is troubling. It is troubling that in this day and age, with all of the history, with all of the survivors, with all of the videos, with all of the documentaries, that there are people out there who still deny that the Jewish people was slaughtered like animals in gas chambers, that they refused to acknowledge that this happened, even though the camps where they were slaughtered still exist and you can go and visit. Boy, if this was a fraud, if this was a prank, that is some distance to go to actually build the places where this happened. It's ignorant. It is as ignorant as the people who make up excuses for Muslim fundamentalist terrorists. But what this tells me, the fact that Facebook allows Holocaust deniers on their site while protecting refugees, Syrian refugees and others from Muslim nations, tells me that anti-Semitism is alive and well around the world. We hear about it from time to time. The media doesn't cover it as much. Many of them are complicit in what goes on by allowing it to happen. And a lot of them come from the Jewish faith. I said that before. I know I hate to sound redundant, but it is truly amazing to me. So now we have Facebook signing with left-wing organizations. Gee, I wonder what type of media entertainment they're going to give to the people. I doubt it's anything that's going to cover anything conservative or anything American or anything symbolic. Folks, it's time to move forward. We can't just move forward for civil rights. We just can't move forward for the rights of the gay community. If we're truly going to move forward as a society, we have to, well, know what happened in our past and accept it and move forward, because there's the old expression, and I've heard Dr. Savage say it. He who ignores history is doomed to repeat it, okay? And you want to ignore, you want to be ignorant, you want to be an idiot and say that the Holocaust never happened? Well, then you know what? It will happen again. It's happened on smaller scales. We've had Pol Pot. We've had Milosevic. We've had others. And until they come for you, you're just going to keep banging that drum. truly amazing. Anti-Semitism alive and well. My name is Lou Pate. You are listening to The Savage Nation. Dr. Savage will return tomorrow. In the meantime, pick up a copy of his book, the New York Times number one bestseller, Trump's War is Battle for America. This is The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey.
Welcome back. It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow, but pick up a copy of Trump's War, his battle for America. You see it going on every day, folks. You see what's going on the news, the fake news, and how they want to push the narrative that there was some type of Russia collusion. You see what's going on, how they try to attack Trump's foreign policy. You see how they're now trying to attack Trump's budget proposal. It is all right there, a visionary tome by Dr. Michael Savage, Trump's War, His Battle for America. It's not an accident that it debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list. So pick up a copy for yourself, or it would make a great gift. Trump's War, His Battle for America. Speaking of President Trump's budget, Lou Pate here with you. That's what we're going to talk about as we make our way to the top of the hour. The Democrats are doing what the Democrats do. They are spreading fear pertaining to President Trump's budget. And as I said at the top of the show, political correctness is domestic terrorism. And the words of Mayor de Blasio in New York, the words of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, the words of Senator Schumer are nothing short of domestic terrorism, spreading fear, striking fear into the hearts and minds of the American people. But at the end of the day, the truth is, as in the New York Post, I love the title of their article, the truth about Trump's quote-unquote savage cuts. Always got to get the savage in there. I always like to think they're thinking about the show when they do this. It says here, relax, President Trump's new budget won't leave people starving or bleeding in the streets. Yes, it brought media hysteria. The plan would drive millions off food stamps, screamed an Associated Press article. It cuts deeply into Medicaid and anti-poverty efforts, cried the New York Times. But, folks, the fact is, the budget, $4.1 trillion in outlays, amounts to 21.3% of the economy, more than any of the last 4 years in line of the Obama administration and in line with the last few decades. So there you have it. And the cuts would bring anti-poverty programs closer to pre-2009 levels. So all of this fear-mongering is just what it is, politicking. So why are they saying it? So let's hear some of it. Robert, if you will, this is the ignorant and very stupid mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, in clip number 14.
It is not an overstatement to say that some children will die because of this. This is why I think President Trump is going to find himself in a lot of trouble. 500,000 kids in his hometown will have less food to eat because of this proposal.
False. Fake news. But what about you, Mayor Wilhelm, Mayor de Blasio? What about you allowing Muslims to gather and speak of hatred and terrorism and plan terrorist acts in the mosques around New York City? What about you getting rid of stop and frisk? What about you allowing, small drug trades to go on the street corners of New York City? How much blood is on your hands? Let's go over the crime statistics since you came in there. And while murders are down, how much are other crimes up? Will the next terrorist attack that is born out of a mosque in New York City, should we come to you and say this is on you? Children will die. Please. But you see it, folks. It's domestic terrorism. Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York is a domestic terrorist because political correctness is domestic terrorism. Next, we have up and never disappointing Nancy Pelosi. we hadn't heard from her in a while. She talks like that because you would think her jaw was wired shut, but she's had so much surgery pulling the skin back that we could barely understand what she's saying. Robert, please, clip 15.
So when we're talking about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, this is a killer for the American people, literally a killer. And as long as the public is aware of what is in these budgets, and that's the important point, they have to know there is a price to pay in terms of public opinion if they would vote for this. But they all did already vote for the Ryan budget, so they've gone down this path before because they're deconstructionists. They don't believe in governance, and they don't believe in science, so they don't feel compelled to do any of these things.
She's just like grasping at straws. They don't believe in government. What else? Oh, they don't believe in science. Where'd that come from? We're talking about finances. We're talking about budgets. Oh, you have to important to find out pass what's in it. She doesn't even remember the famous. You know, we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Now all of a sudden she knows what's in it again. Nancy Pelosi, literally a killer, is the way she quotes the budget again. A domestic terrorist. Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, political correctness is domestic terrorism. You're trying to strike fear in the hearts of Americans. You are a domestic terrorist. Which brings me to my favorite, but Maxine Waters is always my favorite, but Chuck Schumer. We haven't heard much from Uncle Chuck out of Brooklyn there for a while. I remember Dr. Savage always used to call Bernie Sanders the huckster with the cheap suit from Brooklyn. And Senator Schumer is a huckster, too. His suits are just a little bit better quality. Not much, but a little bit better quality than that of Bernie Sanders. But we haven't heard much from Chuck Schumer ever since his prodigy, Anthony Weiner, became a registered sex offender. See, this shows you the judgment of people. Think about it. Chuck Schumer took Anthony Weiner under his wing, groomed him, got him into Congress, and he was rising fast before his sexual proclivities, we'll call them, got him into trouble, and he got kicked out of Congress, okay? And then he was on the rise again because people that I grew up with in New York, I don't understand you, my folks. Well, not my friends, but people who grew up around me, I don't understand why they keep voting Democrats in, but that's a story for another day. Anthony Weiner was on the rise to become the mayor of New York City. So those listening in New York, you can thank Anthony Weiner for Mayor de Blasio. But anyway, Chuck Schumer groomed Anthony Weiner. So it shows you the lack of judgment on the part of Chuck Schumer that he was actually grooming a sexual predator, a alleged pedophile, a registered sex offender. And this, it gets better. This registered sex offender was married to Huma Abedin, who was the right-hand woman for presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. So what does that tell you about the judgment of Hillary Clinton? Think about it. Schumer groomed a now registered sex offender. Hillary's right-hand woman was married to same said sex offender. What does that say about the judgment of both Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer? It's all right there. Bad judgment is an understatement. And, well, we know what happened there. Thank God she wasn't elected. But if we can, Robert, cut number 16. This is Chuck Schumer in all of his comic book glory.
The Trump budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on a fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is openly rooting for a government shutdown. Haven't we heard the president say that? It's the latest example of the president breaking his promises to working Americans. This budget breaks promise after promise after promise that the president made.
There you have it. Now, Robert, I'd like to get 17 in there, too, because it's a great continuation. Again, this is Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer from New York.
We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this.
When you have an extremist liberal politician who gets down in the mud on everything, such as Chuck Schumer, embracing and quoting the Conservative Freedom Caucus, you know you have problems as a party. That is truly a funny thing. Comic book villain bad. And I like the way he goes on to talk about how comic book works. Comic books rely on fantasy to make in this site a budget in reference to make all the numbers work. It's just funny. They don't know what to say. They're just coming up with things. And you know that Schumer sat down with people to say, what can we come up with? You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy is out there, and all the movies, the Marvel movies are out there. They probably had someone on his staff, to their credit, is a fan of comic books, which is fine, and said, oh, this is comic book villain bad. And Schumer, I could see him saying, is that what the kids are saying? Will that resonate? Will people know what that's what they're talking about? And he went with it. And it just sounds horrible. They don't know what to do. When you have Nancy Pelosi saying the budget is, and I quote, literally a killer. The mayor of New York saying children will die. When you have Chuck Schumer trying to strike fear in the hearts and minds of senior citizens. That's the Meals on Wheels reference there, folks. Don't think that he didn't know who he was appealing to there. When you say Meals on Wheels, you're trying to scare seniors. And then when you talk about taking away SNAP benefits, well, that just covers a huge portion of his constituency there in Brooklyn and other parts of New York City. People don't want to lose their SNAP cards. Basically, they're telling you that Trump is going to starve you because, as the clip said, this is America. We've always fed people. No kid goes to bed at night hungry. Okay? They are domestic terrorists. Chuck Schumer, domestic terrorist. Nancy Pelosi, domestic terrorism. De Blasio, domestic terrorism. Because why? As I've said a few times today, and I tweeted out earlier, political correctness is domestic terrorism. And when you are working with fear, when you are spreading fear, when you are trying to get what you want by scaring people who many unfortunately don't know any better, that makes you a vile, repugnant person. And you're on the losing end. But then again, aren't Democrats always on the losing end? Think about it. When you look back just in recent history alone, well, you can go back all the way to slavery when they were on the wrong end of that. But from slavery to Islam to the Trump budget, Democrats are always on the wrong end of what's going on and everything in between, from Ferguson to Baltimore to having Black Lives Matter get a primetime speaking gig at the convention for Hillary Clinton last August. They're always on the wrong side. So why would they be on the right side of this budget? As I said earlier, the budget, $4.1 trillion, basically is more in outlays than any of the last four Obama years and is in line with much of the past few decades, okay? And take the food stamps. In 2007, you got 26 million people got them. That adds in all other government programs, soups, kitchens, and various other charities. No one really had to go hungry back then, so you say the same is going to happen right now. So it's fear-mongering, and I will go so far as to say again, fear-mongering, scaring kids, saying that Republicans and Trump want to kill children, saying that children will die, scaring seniors, thinking those on the lower end of the income scale are going to lose their benefits and their SNAP cards. This is all the Democrats have. I don't understand how anybody could be a Democrat today. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Lou Pate here with you. This is the Savage Nation, home of Trump's war, his battle for America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He'll be back in the big chair tomorrow. But in the meantime, pick up a copy of his New York Times number one bestseller, the book that debuted at number one, Trump's War, His Battle for America. I cannot emphasize enough, folks, more important for these times than ever before. Hey, just a few minutes left. We've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz, congresswoman from my neck of the woods in South Florida, a little south of me. She allegedly threatened a police chief for gathering evidence on a potential security breach. Basically, the long and short of it is that she allegedly threatened the U.S. Capitol Police, Matthew Verderosa, for holding computer equipment in the Awan case. And the Awan brothers and one of the brothers' wives had been alleged to have stolen equipment and possibly leaked classified information about U.S. intelligence operations. The wife fled to Pakistan. That's the short story of it. But now the computer ended up in Capitol Police's hands. They will not give it back to Wasserman Schultz. Remember, she fixed the Democratic primary and then was fired and hired 2 days later by Hillary Clinton. What does that tell you? She wants that computer back. And we have the audio of her threatening the police chief. Robert, if you will, clip number 19.
Members' equipment is members' equipment. Under my understanding, the Capitol Police is not able to confiscate members' equipment when the member is not under investigation. It is their equipment, and it's supposed to be returned.
Well, I think there's extenuating circumstances in this case, and I think that, you know, working through my counsel and the necessary personnel, if that in fact is the case, and with the permission of through the investigation, then we'll return the equipment. But until that's accomplished, I can't return the equipment.
I think you're violating the rules when you conduct your business that way, and should expect that there will be consequences.
You should expect that there will be consequences. Wait, what are the Democrats pushing on CNN and MSNBC right now? Obstruction of justice. That's what I just heard, folks. Threatening a law enforcement officer, the voice you heard, Matthew Verderosa, and then obstruction of justice. I asked the question, what is on that computer? Did you hear the fear in her voice, the trepidation? What is on that computer? What is she afraid is going to be found on that computer? Remember, this is the woman who fixed the Democratic primary in favor of Hillary Clinton. Okay? This is the woman who did criminal acts in fixing that election, and nothing happened to her. She wasn't even charged. All she did was lose her job, only to be hired again by Hillary Clinton 2 days later. So, what's on that computer, folks? That's what I ask as we head out of the Savage Nation. Special thanks to Robert. Special thanks to Jim. Could not have done it without you guys, and I don't just say that. Excellent job. Always awesome working with you. And special thanks to Dr. Savage for having me. Make sure you pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. You will not be disappointed. My name is Lou Pate. You are listening to The Savage Nation.